problem and unhappiness. So they say the radiant smile is very important. The joy within your heart can make you relax. So this is the easier way to relax your body and mind. Then after that, you can radiate love and metta, starting with yourself. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. When you recite, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then you can repeat, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas too, be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within the entire SS2PJ, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, planet Earth, Mother Earth, solar system, our entire galaxy, and the entire universe. May all beings throughout the entire existence be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, feel, just feel, silent your mind and just feel. Then after that, you move your attention down to your neck, relax every part, shoulder, do the same, hand, relax, back to shoulder, then move down to your heart or your chest area. This is the part where the heartbeat arises and passes away, where the life force arises and passes away. This is also where the seat of consciousness is. So you just silence your mind and just feel. You can detect any heart rate, heartbeat, or any vibration. You just stay there, silent, and feel. Don't have to do anything. If you are new, then you just relax everything, because your mindfulness may not be so stable, so refined. You cannot feel anything. So you just let you feel your forehead. You just relax every part. After that, you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. This mind sweeping method will help you because you only feel and relax. You don't think anymore. So it will make you peaceful. It will help you decondition your heedless thinking and make you more calm and more peaceful. Then after that, you can reverse the whole process from your leg, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, do the same, feel, relax, heart area, feel, relax and silent. Then after that, you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, relax every part. Then facial muscle, feel and relax. Then go to your eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more peaceful and more calm. So now you should train your this mind so that this calmness, this awareness, this mindfulness can stabilize. You can use anapanasati, mindfulness or in and out breath, to develop the training. You just silent your mind like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. Maintain awareness or attention in front of the nostril. Silent everything and just feel. Then when you can detect the breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means the mind and the breathing move as one, without thought. So this is anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So you do this training, you become awareness of the in and out breath, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just silent your mind and maintain attention at the breathing. Every time this awareness or this attention wanders off, you patiently bring it back to the object of meditation and just silent and maintain awareness. Every time the mind wanders off, you bring it back. If you are patient enough, this training will stabilize. Then your mind will become very mindful and very peaceful. The awareness of the in and out breath without thought will make you calm and peaceful. You will experience what they call piti, a type of spiritual joy. Then when piti arises, if you continue to relax, you will experience deeper joy leading to sukha, which is bliss. Then you continue to relax and silent, it can transform further and become positive. The quiet mind, the silent mind, the still mind, the peaceful and tranquil mind. Positive is stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. Then after that, you silent everything and you meditate. Then you will be able to understand many, many things that go on within your form and mind. Okay, I will let you continue your meditation after this. You just continue to train your mind to develop anapanasati. For those who already know how to meditate, if your mind is already trained, then you just relax and silent. You need to stay at the heart, you stay at the heart. You need to stay at the subtle breathing, anapanasati, you can still stay there. Then relax and be aware, that's it. The silent mind that is in awareness can understand many things. Then you will be able to detect all of the consciousness that arise within each and every of your sense bases. It can be from your tactile consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, and thought consciousness. You will be able to develop the mindfulness of each and every one of these. Then you continue to relax and silent. As you investigate, you will understand more and more. then you see very clearly the mental activity and movement within. How upon contact of sense bases with the mind, consciousness come to be. Then how within the consciousness, the content come out. And how it stir your mind and develop attachment, clinging, grasping, craving, everything. You will come to understand. Okay, now I will let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 20 or 30 minutes time. Okay.
Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain as long as you can whatever mental training that you have developed. Whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is very useful. It can help you develop the meditation. The trained mind is silent, peaceful, away within, whereas the untrained mind is heedless, thing a lot, very restless. So it is important that you learn how to train your mind. And to train your mind is very simple. You only need to cultivate spiritual faculties. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance will be no more. Then you are naturally peaceful. There's the five spiritual faculties will make you peaceful. The faith will make you very calm and very composed. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. The virya is a spiritual zeal that will bring about the necessity to walk this way, to train this mind. So you will bring forth the spiritual zeal to train this mind so that it is calm, peaceful, and aware within, so that mindfulness can develop. And the third spiritual faculty is sati, which is mindfulness. So this is the most important quality that you must develop. When there is sati, there is the meditative mind. When you stabilize sati, it becomes samadhi. And when you have sati and samadhi, you will see things as they are. Wisdom will keep on arising. You will understand. Then with the five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will cease by itself. Then you will no longer be heedless. You will no longer be what they call constantly lost in thought and heedless. So this is what you need to understand. The other thing is, the real meditation is not just sitting. Sitting alone is just conditioned to train your mind or to understand the mind that has been trained better, so that you can use it to develop the formal meditation to understand deeper, clearer. Then after you have that ability, you should maintain this mindfulness and use it to live life. It is the daily life that is the real meditation, where you can have this type of calm, meditative, peaceful mind throughout the day in your daily life. That is what the Buddha calls sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment while you live life. And if you use this mind that is trained to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to what they call heedfulness or apamada. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. You got no more problem. So this is briefly what you need to do. So for Maureen and Florence, I don't know how you all find the session. Is it okay? Are you peaceful? Okay. Anyway, you go back and read the notes. It will help you. I think Mrs. Wong, is it? Yeah, you just came in just now, later part. This is Maureen. Is this the one? You mentioned Maureen. Is this the lady? Oh, there, Yun Chan next to you. You know her? Yun Chan, Sister Hui. Can't remember. She said she know Mandy. She know Maureen. Then a few of us. She said she attended my class before, but I can't remember. Even Maureen also, she said she came to this class before, but I cannot remember. Yeah, but never mind. Huh? Anyway, the condition is, I think it's meant to be. Because after so long, Mrs. Wong suddenly turned up today at my office. I was also quite surprised. Then she said she is Mrs. Wong. Then I cannot recall. Then after that, I came out and asked her. She called me about, I think, 1 or 2 years ago, if I'm wrong. Then I remember that time he said he knows Maureen and Mandy. Anyway, I say, if there is condition, let things be. She want to come for the meditation. And I was so surprised she turned out today. So whatever it is, if it's the condition is meant to be, then it will be. Then Florence also, I think, is Mimi's good friend, I think. Maureen, you came with Florence, you also know Florence. Oh, good. So all of a sudden we got three new people joining us. I rejoice with your wholesomeness. I hope you can benefit from the sharing. So now the Tuesday class is a little bit changed because Yun Chan requested for meditation first 40 minutes, which is very good. I think you all like it, isn't it? At least you have some sitting. Well, last time we used to have a Saturday class, but we cancel it because it is too often. I got many places to go to, so we have to actually cancel that Saturday class. Okay, before we continue our second session, which is the Dhamma discussion, anybody wants to ask any question or report your meditation? Maybe we take one. Anybody? Yeah, Hui Rong. Pass the mic over to her. Yeah.
我昨天在 Facebook 上看到一段影片。 那个影片其实没有跟达玛有什么关系。 那个影片其实是 一群很小的 baby。 在水里面潜水，那个不是重点。然后重点是我看了之后，其实他的意思是说，其实那个潜水那个是好像是我们的本能。所以他们甚至不会爬，不会走，只是他们会潜水，而且好像鱼一样。然后由这件事我就联想到我自己。到底什么才是我的本能？也就是说，我们常常听到，Buddha nature, true nature, 这些其实很常听到。对。可是我们其实从来没有很严肃去想那个到底是什么。然后，那当我们说每个人都有。 所谓的nature，那个东西是我们真的需要回到那个状态，才是真的比较所谓的，我们所追求的嘛。很好，很好
，very good question. Thank you. Those who don't know Mandarin, I need to translate a little bit. What Hui Rong was asking was very, very important. She is a Taiwanese. She Mandarin educated, so normally she more fluent in Mandarin, so she will ask questions in Mandarin. How many of you don't understand Mandarin? The three new people don't understand Mandarin. Oh, Asu also don't understand. Okay, then I will translate. She said she was looking at Facebook today, then she came across a video. It's not a Dhamma video. It's a video that actually shows a lot of these babies, swimming. I think they just put them in water. You know, Westerner, once they are born, they throw the baby into the swimming pool. And she was very surprised because she's now more observant. She has a deep. So when she see the video, she became like curious. How come the baby like fish, you know, can swim just like that? Nobody teach them. So what you think? Then she tried to relate, is it? She often heard about Buddha nature. Is the baby when they are just baby, like they are with that Buddha nature? What you think? It's a very good Dhamma discussion, isn't it? Anybody want to try? What you think? How come the baby know how to swim? You can say instinct, because you can also say in the womb also water bag. Understand or not? He has been surviving inside there for so long without air. Understand or not? But in the womb, you don't forget there's an umbilical cord. Understand or not? From the mother, that one makes a big difference. Understand or not? But how come after it's born, they can do this? You know why or not? Try. Those mother can try. Ume, try. Yun Chan. Yun Chan, mother of two. What you think? Just for discussion, never mind. Pass the mic. Okay, Yun Chan has given it a try. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, Jay. No. There's a group of baby. All can swim. All can swim. Yes, he say all the baby there, just in the thing. Swim. Okay, these are what you all think. So, not bad. Good try. You see, you forget one thing. The baby got no thought, no conditioning. So what? No fear means what? The baby's body is like your body, you know, lighter than water. You know? Understand? Not? Lighter than water. Our natural state of this body is buoyancy, and it's a bit lighter than water. If you got no fear, what happened? They float. No need to learn, eh? Must learn or not? They are just like a float, no. That's why they go down without fear. Oh, they play. Very nice. Then they have been in the womb for so long with the eye like that. Understand or not? No need to learn, eh? Understand or not? So sometimes, don't use your thought too much. The baby got no thought. That's why very peaceful. No suffering, nothing. And no need to learn. But the baby doesn't know that he or she can float. But there is no knowledge. It act naturally. Naturally without fear, they will float. That's why you see the Westerner, the European lady, I saw with my own eyes when I was in Form 6, I think. We were at Kedah, this Kedah club where the teachers are all members and all things. There's a swimming pool there. Then there's some Westerner. I saw the baby, I think less than a few days old. He just take to the pool, like that, go into the pool. At first, I got a shock. Then I say, I saw the baby, happily inside there, can move around and just be. Then the mother, nothing to worry about, not even at the side there looking after the baby. No, it just let it be there. And the husband also drinking up there. So this is how their culture and ours is different. But they try it, they knew it's okay. But don't go and try. You hear this recording, you say, Brother Teo, say, can. You go and try, then get into trouble. Because the baby got fear already, you only go and try and throw inside, then you get into trouble. Before it knows anything, when it's very young. and they know. So sometimes this type of thing you can learn through understanding. The other question they ask is this part of Buddha nature? What do you think? Buddha nature has nothing to do with the thought, understand not? So this baby also without thought, understand not? But Buddha nature is different in the sense that it is a nature, understand not? And that nature, each and every one of us we have, is connected, understand not? But because you have not developed the meditation, you don't know how to connect, understand not? Even when you are born as a baby without thought, you are not connected to that nature, understand? But this is a karmically conditioned form of mind, understand? And this form of mind, without memory, without anything, they only inherit the past, the karmic, understand? That's why the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma, every moment, every instant. So all of your DNA coding, your whatever karmic conditioning, they are all the imprint inside there, mentally and physically, understand? So this form of mind is just the form of mind, understand? Yeah. But before it has the conditioning and the thought, it's beautiful, understand? But that one cannot live life, understand? That's like the baby got no thought. They have pure awareness, you know. They see things as they are, no? Not like you. So you got a lot of concept, idea, memory, words. That's why you react. So you got fear, you got old. The baby don't have. So baby hungry, naturally cry. So this is what they call, Yun Chang called instinct. So can follow that. Yeah? So this is what you can actually develop out of the understanding that you have from the Buddha's teaching. That if you have mindfulness, if you are observant, you can learn a lot of things, you can understand a lot of things. Then through all this understanding, you can actually evolve. You can become more and more knowledgeable. And as you understand, all this can help the future generation, understand? Where this can be documented and people learn. Then generation after generation, they improve. You look at science and technology, it's the same. After they have actually certain breakthrough about the scientific law that governs life and existence, especially law of physics and chemistry. And nowadays also biology. These physical law and biological laws, when they break through, like Einstein, E equals MC squared, sudden breakthrough, means mass and energy are interrelated, understand? That's why they can unlock all this energy. You got nuclear power, nuclear weapon, all this, there is an understanding already. Then medical science also, when you break through, you can come out with a lot of what they call very important discovery. Then you can apply, use it. That's why there is such a field as applied science, genetic engineering. Then you got all this what they call various type of engineering, silver, mechanical. Last time is only 3 or 4. Silver, electrical, mechanical, and chemical. Now you got so many more. Now, all the IT guys are called engineers. Because engineering has become such a loose word now. Then in the West, truck driver is also an engineer. Where they do mechanical things. An engineer, the word comes from German. Ingenious person, engineer. A person who is ingenious is an engineer. So that's why that word, we all adopt IR, because it comes from that word, IR. Instead of MR, you are Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, MS. We all engineer, we put in front IR. Nobody understand actually, only engineers. It comes from the German word engineer. Okay, with that, maybe we can start the class. Okay, so for those who are new, you may not have the book, but don't worry, I will read it out. We are supposed to continue this Samatha Vipassana as requested by, I think, Anna. We were at page 12. Turn to page 12. Wait now. You hold. Okay. You turn to page 14, sorry. We stop at page 14 only. Page 14. 14. Before the advent of the Buddha, Apana Samadhi was very popular, and almost everybody who developed them became very powerful and very famous. That's why the two teachers that the Buddha learned from, Alara and Udaka, they are actually foremost teachers of this type of formless meditation. The first one, Alara, taught the Buddha until the seventh jhana, the rhyme of nothingness. Then Udaka, the last one, taught him until the eighth jhana, the rhyme of neither perception nor non-perception. But the Buddha realized that even with all this deep absorption and concentration, a very still mind, he still cannot liberate from birth, old age, sickness and death. And you all remember, the reason why the Buddha left the palace, renounced the world to seek the truth, was due to what? The four signs that he saw when his attendant took him out of the palace. He saw a very old person, a very sick person, and a dead person. Then when the attendant explained to him that this is a very old person, the Buddha couldn't understand. I said, what do you mean by old person? Then the attendant said, we now develop the discussion. See whether you can have the same type of condition like the Bodhisattva during that time or not. He said, a very old person means each and every one of us, if we live long enough, we will be like this person. Very, very old means what? Very weak, very fragile, very sick, and like totally out of shape, shrink. Then the Buddha to be, the Bodhisattva at that time, suddenly got a shock, inside. He said, you mean one day I will also become like this person like that? That was really shocking to him. Means what? He got a problem. Despite what the father has given him, all the four types of palace for the four seasons, all the beautiful things, and the youth that he has, one day he still have to confront old age, just like that very, very old person. So that is what suffering is to the Buddha. So weak, so fragile, so sick, and so skinny. No more meaning if that is life, because he cannot overcome old age. Then when he saw the sick person so miserable and so sick, he said, you mean each and every one of us one day will also become sick, right? Then he realized that is not life. Means he got a problem. He cannot overcome old age sickness. Then finally death. You mean everybody must die, including me, one day? Then he said, this is a big problem. You understand? So when you saw these three signs, did it have an impact on you? Yeah? This life, you ask yourself. You have seen people getting old, getting sick and die. Yeah? But most of you got no impact in that. You don't want to talk about it only. Huh? Ah, yeah, this one. Later only think about it. This is so different. No? Understand? Whereas the one that has the, what they call, this understanding from the past, they immediately see the problem. And they realize this is what they need to seek. The answer to old age, sickness and death. Then he saw a holy person. The one with the robe, a renunciate. That's why he think of renunciation. So he left the palace, renounced the world, cut the hair, and went to become ascetic. To seek the answer to life, to understand life, to go beyond all age, sickness and death. That's why after he developed all the meditation, almost 6 years, he became the foremost in every field, including all the concentration, absorption, apana, samadhi. And he reached the 8 jhanas. And he is supposed to be the best among, better than the teacher, or of equal to the teacher. And yet he realized that is not what he is seeking. Because he still has problem with old age, sickness and death. That's why he left the teacher, go on his own, strive on. Then later on, his spouse came and helped him. He realized he cannot continue this way, where this is not the way to salvation. He realized he must eat again, he must have food. This body must be nourished. So that's why he revert back from the austere cultivation. He started to take food. Then after that, he actually reflected, contemplated when he was very young. I think when he was a few years old, the harvesting festival, he remembered how he went into that state. Actually, it's the first jhana, they say. Then he levitated and flowed. He was so calm and so peaceful when he was in the first jhana. You know what is first jhana? When the 5 jhanic factors are there. Vitaka, vichara, applied thought, sustained thought, piti, sukha, ekagata. This one is not apana yet, understand? Not absorption meditation yet. Because applied thought and sustained thought is still at the thought level, understand? There is still piti and sukha. Understand? Means the mind is still conscious, aware, understand? So that's why he remembered that state. And as a child, he was so peaceful and so calm. So he go back into that state. Then he reflected, contemplate, then he cultivate from there. He don't want to go into deep absorption anymore. Then all of a sudden, he connect. Then he inherited the past. All the knowledge, all the understanding come back to him. That's how he became enlightened. Of course, there were also the other part when he had to confront the maras. All the maras that come and challenge him before his awakening. And even it was told in the Jataka story, the Mara sent his most beautiful daughters, the powerful and beautiful one, to tempt the Buddha. Yet, they couldn't succeed. So that was how that story went on. So now for a matter of discussion. If let's say now, you already know the Dhamma. You know the first noble truth, the 8 conditions. The first 4 is birth, old age, sickness and death. How is it going to impact upon you now? Does it give you the urgency to cultivate? You definitely have. When you know this is so important, because the reality is this form of mind can only last you for maybe, for me, maybe another 20 years or so, I don't know. by then I will be 80. Yeah? For some of you, maybe longer. Huh? For the older one, maybe not so long. So, if you do not develop this urgency, yeah, make haste in developing the cultivation. That's why the Buddha says, strive on with heedfulness, so that you are no longer heedless, so that you can be destined for enlightenment. You must develop this very strong, what they call, urgency inside you. That this is a very beautiful window. This is a sasana where the teaching is still around, where the Dhamma is still around, and there is still very good condition to cultivate and to develop the understanding. So if you do not allow this window to slip away, then you must make haste, develop the urgency, and strive on with faithfulness. I understand you have your worldly duties, understand? You have to live your life, you have many responsibility and duties, but you must set your priority, understand? Whatever that is important to you, because all those things, if you really understand, yeah, they are not so real, understand? Understand? They come and they go, understand? And every birth you come, you do the same foolish thing. Then what happens? You continue in samsara for very, very long. Duty is important, but you just do your duty, understand? In between, if your priority is right, you should cultivate, determine to develop this understanding, to free your mind, to liberate your mind. Then only living become meaningful, understand? Otherwise, that type of living to me, not so meaningful, understand? Then every time get yourself into trouble, with a lot of misery, suffering, born of delusion. So that type of life, not so suitable. I don't know about others. When I was quite young, 1971 actually, I started to probe. No, I don't have any problem. I was just a Form 5 student. When I studied geography, then later on when I understand science, oh, my mind just broke. I like to look at the sky at night, alone. I lie on the grass, the field. Then I look up. Then I saw all the stars with the wind, the breeze, everything. Then my mind started to probe. No? I said, who am I? What am I? I come to realize I'm very insignificant. No? That time maybe the earth population was only 5 billion, no? Not just 6 billion. I think. I say one of the 5 billion miserable beings. Yeah? You think you're very great, huh? Very great. Huh? You're only one of the miserable ones. And in one of the small, tiny, miserable planet, no? Earth, no? This is the third planet from this sun. No? And each and every star, countless, is a potential sun or bigger. No? So who are you? What are you? You are so insignificant. No? Just one speck in the entire universe. No? But human beings think they're very great. So that time, I was probing, inquiring. Then I come to realize one thing. Yeah, I say I'm very insignificant, the only like a speck in the whole universe. But I believe, I say, I had a mind that is very powerful. My mind can understand everything. Very funny one. When I was young, I already knew that. And I got one answer. No? I must meditate. I don't even know what the hell meditation is at that time. I don't even know what Dhamma is. I don't even know that Buddhism is the teaching. Yeah. I didn't know that time. I was a free thinker. Yeah, I saw my mother, Chinese traditional practitioner, not to say practitioner, traditional Chinese, which believe in the dainties and all those things. I saw my mother bargain with the dainty. I offer you help me, then I come and offer you more. I slaughter chicken and do other things. Then he said, if you help me protect my children, so that they are healthy, they recover from the sickness, they study well, they pass exam, I will come and offer you more. Wow, I say, can negotiate like that one. That type of religion, I don't want to know. So I never looked at Buddhism, because I thought that was Buddhism. Then after Form 5, very funny. Five or six of us classmates. At that time, very strange. Only my class, the other class don't have like that one. We come together and we have the same thought one. We just want to find truth, seek truth. Of course, one of them was, the father was an authority in Buddhism. He got the Tipitaka, everything. Then one of my teachers is a Christian chemistry teacher, Hua Yong. He's a pastor, and yet he was our chemistry teacher. You know what happened or not? He go and actually confront this teacher, and challenge this teacher with the Tipitaka. So the teacher also don't know what to do with him. Yeah, he said, our Bible is so small, but your Tipitaka is so big. So actually, I think, if I'm not wrong, sarcastically tell him, theirs is more concise. Ours is too much words. So anyway, they couldn't agree. We have one belief in the what they call theirs. Whatever, they are whatever, almighty and all that. And this one, that time I don't even know the Dhamma, I also don't know why. I know that they were arguing. Until he come out, tell us, he said, forget about him, he said. We go and see outside. So we went to the church. Also same, because we all science students. Our question very simple. We ask, what is the truth? What is your religion? What you think? Oh, so they tell us their Christianity. Then science student, you know, always ask question. Oh, you believe in creation. God created the world. God created humanity, everything. Then we ask, who created God? When we ask that question, they look at each other. Then they discuss. Then after that, they say, God is beyond question. God is almighty. You cannot ask question. God has a reason for everything. He is the almighty creator. From him everything comes. But I say, science is very straightforward. Nothing is created nor destroyed, according to physics. There must be something behind for creation to come about. We talk about law of conservation of mass and energy, because we already know Einstein theory. So we say, cannot be. There must be a cause. Understand? Otherwise, nothing come out. Understand? Then they say, no, no, no. We say, if you ask like that, we cannot discuss. Is it? So we left. Then we went to Islam. We went to the mosque. Then we even went to Baha'i. The only place we didn't go is temple. We saw all the traditional temple my mother do. We are not interested in that. So end of the day, there was no solution. So I just have one understanding. I must meditate to understand. So I left it. Then when I went to Form 6, very strange. There was one day, I got one classmate, the sister, he saw me every time sit alone, silent my mind. He got this book, Chief Reverend wrote on What Buddhists Believe, the first edition, red color one. Just before I went to the uni, because she 1 year my junior, I think we normally cycle home on. So we were together cycling. Then he said, I got a book for you. I think it will suit you. He said, I think you will like this book. So I said, okay. Then when I reached my place, because her place is further up, she stopped, she took the book and passed it to me. When I took home, when I read the book, I was very surprised. The title is What Buddhists Believe in. The opening introduction tell me what my mother do and nothing to do with Buddhism. Wow, I was full of joy. He said, these are all traditional practices, Chinese custom and belief and practices. Nothing to do with the Dhamma. The Dhamma only teach the Four Noble Truths. Wow, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, inside my heart, no need to search already. This is the one. Because my heart tells me, whoever 2,000 years ago can come out with this summary of his understanding, he is the real one. Cannot be otherwise. You know why or not? When I saw the Four Noble Truths, I don't know what you all saw, the Four Noble Truths. Does it impact upon you? Never. Aiyo, you know what I saw or not? Huh? This Four Noble Truths. To me, it's like the greatest gift on luck for me, you know, Four Noble Truths. It's like the greatest gift I had ever received, you know. Because this Four Noble Truths, to me, is like the secret of life. Secret of life. Well, when I read it for the first time, it's as if I really, really appreciate and understand the whole truth, no? Because all of life, mundane and supramundane, all explained inside there, no? And only four simple truths, no? Everything about life, no? That's why after that I said, no need to search. This is the one. Yeah. And when I report for MU, first night, I check into the hostel, first college. That night, somebody brought me, another classmate, to a talk. Science faculty. I saw Chief Reverend there, giving talk. Speak perfect English. And I was full of joy. And then I come to know this book, he was the author. That's why straight away, I go and take the address of the temple, Brickfield. Then I vow to visit him. Then that night, I went back. I wait till my roommate sleep. First time, I don't know how to meditate. I sat, I meditate. Then like Chief Reverend say, look inside. He pointed towards the forehead. Look inside, he said, your mind. So I thought the mind was here. When he pointed to the forehead, so I look inside. Then I can focus, I can concentrate. Then I saw this light inside. Then I just focus on it, stay there. And my mind was very calm. Then after that, I give it a push. Went beyond that light. Then I went into another dimension. Then I saw my mind move up. It's like infinite space. Then it was like maybe a few minutes only. Then I withdraw. I felt very peaceful, very calm, very still. Then I thought, an hour, half an hour or whatever. I look at my watch. I sat down at 12 o'clock. When I looked at the watch, it was 4 o'clock. I've been sitting there for 4 hours without me knowing it. And that was how I started. Then I realized, this is meditation. Because after that, I was so calm, so still for so many days. And I never had that experience. So my mind tell me, this is meditation. I never learned. But everything just come. So what I want to share with you is, when you develop this type of ability, it is something you inherit from your past, understand or not? It doesn't come by accident, understand or not? So if you have any of this, don't think that you are weird, understand or not? Or you are something wrong, understand or not? A lot of people have this idea, because they feel that they are weird, because nobody do like that one. And I can tell you, throughout my life, I every time do things opposite from people. The flute I blow, I also join school band, I hold the other way around. Everything I do, more or less the ballet. People like all those things, I don't like. I like to be simple, down to earth. Then I'm not shameful. Because my mother very poor that time. We got 9 brothers and sisters. So you go and buy cloth, very cheap one, $1, 1 meter one maybe. Then she will sew herself. She never learned one. Then the shirt she make for me, the sleeve, here long, here short one. Then here also long, short one. Pocket also funny one. So and the clothes so cheap, easily torn. So when I wear to school, everybody laugh at me. That's all. But for me, it's okay. You can laugh. More important is end of the day, what is inside me, and what is inside you. More important, yeah? For me, external is not important. The form is not important. So that was how I grew up. Then I realized I always very quiet. I learn things very fast. The moment I understand something, I go beyond the person who teach me. So these are the unique quality that I inherited from my past. That's why my life was, after that, smooth sailing. And everything, like, fall into place. Then the Dhamma come, the teacher come, the book come, everything come. I never do anything. Then after that, I visited those people whom I supposed to visit. Then I just learn from life. So this is how everyone is different, okay? So now we can come back to the book. Unless any one of you want to share your own experience. Anybody? You know? Got anybody? Mimi. Pass to Mimi. Mimi must have. She also quite a unique being.
I want to share something very interesting. It happens, I think, over the weekend. Actually, my husband, over the weekend, he took us to Genting.
Oh.
We didn't plan to stay overnight, but eventually we stayed overnight without anything. We didn't take anything along. Okay, the thing is when we are walking around in the hotel and the theme park area, the indoor one, I was very mindful about my sense consciousness and how I feel the surrounding. And I always feel that there are a lot of things happening, but yet I was very calm and still within. So that means I can feel that the surrounding actually didn't attract
you.
Me.
Yeah, correct.
So I was in that state most of the time when I go makan with my family members. Then whatever it is, because we didn't bring any clothes, you know. So I just flow along, I caught a flow, no negativity. So the beauty part is the next morning my husband woke up very early. He said, okay, we must have dim sum. So we went to this Shanghai Tan shop. They sell the dim sum.
Yes.
So my son and the husband, they're doing the ordering. As usual, I would just leave them do whatever. So I was actually sitting in a position that actually facing the main door. And it was quite early in the morning, not a lot of people, and yet the there's this one something that goes wrong. It's very nice with, I call it the lantern cable car going wrong. Okay, so I was actually I was with that moment, and I can see the environment is, the management actually took a lot of effort to make it looks attractive, interesting, and I see some kids going around, running around, very happy. When I was in that state, I realized I have this realization is, actually, sentient beings or human beings, we try to do a lot of things to make things look nice, to make things look attractive, satisfy our needs. That's why in this environment, I see they're having the retail shop, they're having the glittering lights, they're having everything, the stage area. Actually, then I don't know, this realization come to me. Actually, if a person have the wisdom and have a lot of contentment within.
Sadhu.
He or she will have this wisdom in her. She don't need all these external things to make her happy. She or he at 24 hours, she will be very at peace. And she will live a life, maybe this is what you call, you know, you exist and life is wonderful. So that was very profound very in me, and I was like, with that moment,
very
I said,
good, very good.
Wow, I think. Then that made me understand why human beings, they have so much of suffering. Because they don't have this internal stillness or internal
silent
or tranquility within to be happy at any time, any moment, anywhere.
Very good.
So I was like, wow. So I was very happy I shared this with my two children. So I think this sharing, hopefully it will benefit some of you all. Or hopefully you'll probably say, maybe you also can go into that state. So
when you have the Dhamma, your mind is very different. Like what she shared, it's very beautiful. And a lot of these things, for some of you, maybe you may not understand what she tried to share with you, the message. The message is very important because this is an understanding, a realization from within. After deep understanding of the Dhamma, before that you cannot have this. It's just a, like they call, impromptu thing as a, because the trip was not planned. She never looked forward to stay a night, nothing. But the husband just decide, why not we go Genting? Two children, husband and wife, go. Then they decide to stay overnight. And when she's there, she said, she is very mindful with the moment, fully aware. This is when you have the Dhamma already. Then you can be in that state of mind. Then that state of mind, through that nature, because it's connected, there is silence, there is stillness, there is understanding, then it can feel, it can be very sensitive. Then it can understand what human beings do, where she is in this field. She actually studied mall concept, M-A-L-A, how the mall should be designed, how it should function and all those things. And he can understand, we are in the advertising business, you know, how to create attraction and all those things. So Genting is very good at this, so that they can lure people up there, understand? That's why I say you got the what they call the theme park, then you got the hotel, you got all the various what they call rides for people to try and all those things. Then they have come out with many things, like she described, the lighting, the rides and all those things. This is to create visual attraction, the visual sensuality, so that the sound, sight, music and everything, it will become very, very conducive to attract people to go there. But then she realized, this type of peace and this type of joy or this type of happiness is still the worldly one, gross, whereas you have the Dhamma, without all this, you are already so full inside yourself, so perfect, so wonderful, so beautiful, so meaningful. So all this, you know, worldly people, to them is, fantastic. A lot, especially the kid, first time you go up there, never had this type of attraction before. So your mind can easily become conditioned, influenced, and maybe you have joy. Nothing wrong with that. It can make you happy and peaceful. Understand? But this one is external, worldly. Understand? Not born of wisdom, not born of understanding truth and the Dhamma. They are not sensitive to life. Understand? When things go their way, they're happy, joy. But when things don't go their way, they become miserable, afflicted, suffer. So this is what Dhamma can give it to you. Understand? So her sharing is actually very wonderful, but not easy for normal people to understand. So now you understand. Sadhu, we rejoice. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So anybody else want to share something? Ah, Hui Rong, yeah. Yong naga mic.
我想 extend 他刚刚讲的，就是
啊，很好。
其实所谓学习达玛的人很多都很了解这样子的 concept， 可是呢，很多人会去刻意追求，刻意说，就好像伯德就讲，每次讲啊，如果你不喜欢 enjoy 那个，那怎样怎样，所以变成说哈，在我身边有很多我看到的例子，就是他变成是很执着
啊，
他虽然懂那个所谓的理论，可是其实他没有很深入的去了解其实那个真正的含义，而去刻意追求这样子的，
对，
变成执着，
对，
那旁人看了其实会很觉得哎，怎么好像走错路了？
Yeah.
那其实我们有时候看了，其实以前我会觉得，哎呀，他怎么可以这么执着？可是后来我会觉得说，哎，他就去执着吧，那是他的方法。然后我也很接受这样子的方式。Yeah. 然后我觉得，那我很。看得很清楚，然后我很知道我所要追求的是什么。我觉得这样子的话，
也是很好。
会比较所谓的中庸一点
啊，平静下来。
对
对对对 ，very
good。不是说怎么一定要怎么样？
呀、yeah, ，对，生活就是这样。I just explain or translate a bit, huh?What Hui Rong said was very good. She said, just to add on to what Mimi has shared, she also wants to share something. She said, normally, people tend to actually get attracted by all these things. Then it becomes an attachment. Understand? Means what? Like after you enjoy this nice place, like Genting or what before, then you, every time, the thought will come, no?You want to go there, understand? You want to go there and try that again. Because to you, it's memory, good memory. First time, like good food, understand? But then, he said, if you have that, it becomes an attachment. Then last time, he used to comment, people who like that, like, go wrong way already, understand? You cannot attach, understand? But then later, he realized, people are just the way they are, understand?If they find that this is what they want, they can go ahead. But finally, they will understand what suffering is. Because the moment you attach and you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, miserable, frustrated, etc. But you get what you want, like just now I mentioned, when things go your way, you're happy, you jump for joy. But the second time you go out, most of the time it's like that. If you attach to this thing, you go out, maybe...You find it not as exciting as last time already. Understand? Not? Then you say, actually, last time I come better, nicer, this time not so nice, weather not so nice, because you compare. So, this is what the human mind is all about. This is what Sankara is all about. That if you lack contentment, if you lack understanding, you don't know how to live.Understand? But contentment is very important. Contentment is you are contented with whatever you have, just like what Mimi Day of Entro. Didn't bring clothing, so what? Didn't prepare for it, so what? That is the reality. So they just accord and flow, be contented with what they have. So actually in Genting, you don't bring along your warm clothing or cardigan, at night can be pretty cold, understand? So, but because they can accord and flow,They can still be at peace, understand? And you, those who went to Genting, you know, at night, outside, you are not inside the casino area or the restaurant area. I tell you, at night, sometimes when the wind blows, it can be very cold, understand? Then you will prefer to go inside, indoor. then you go to the room and all things. But when you have this good mind, you will never react and develop this negativity and unhappiness. You will know what to do. You will accord and flow, and you can still be at peace with whatever the condition is. But that is the reality. And your mind is very different. Then you realize life is beautiful. Your form and mind is just form and mind for you to live. You need to attend to it, you attend to it, but you don't attach, you don't cling. Understand? So Hui Rong came to understand, if he can just allow things be, allow people to be what they are, so the mind no need to command, so that you yourself develop your own understanding, yeah? To live, to experience life, to have more and more understanding of what life is. Then she felt, this way she is more at peace. She feel better. But end of the day, you have to go beyond the I, the ego. When the I is still there, it is still not the true understanding. You will have to go beyond the I, means this is just form and mind. You will know very clearly. It's no more me, I, next time, I want what, I want. All those that the thought create one cease to be. Understand? Form and mind is just form and mind. Reality is just reality. Every moment, every instant. If you know how to live, you know how to develop the understanding of it, you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Understand? Then life can be very meaningful, very wonderful. And every moment is beautiful. So, understanding is very important. Understanding is without the atta. You can experience the beauty and wonders of all phenomena. The pristine beauty and wonders of all phenomena, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. Yeah. Everything, every moment, every instant, is just wonderful. Where the mind has got no more craving, desire for anything. It's just very contented to experience life. Experience all the beauty and wonders of life. That is very contented with what it has. Whatever that function and work within the form of mind. He will not like other people who can complain about one part that is not so. Maybe doing so well. So because of one part, let's say, and it spoils your entire life. Understand? Sometimes you don't really careful about life. You may not be sensitive enough, but you have this old habit. Like you got some discomfort, let's say. Maybe as you get old, rheumatism, or here ache, there ache, or some slight problem here and there. And because of that problem, you become miserable, unhappy. Your whole of living affected. Understand? Why can't you still live despite this? But this is the reality. Understand? If I felt something, like the Buddha said, when your body is sick, do not allow your mind to be sick. Understand? Otherwise, it will condition your mind state to be unhappy too. Understand? Within that moment, you have a choice, to be happy or peaceful or unhappy. It's your choice. Why are you not at peace? Because you're attached to this body. You think this is you. It must not have rheumatism. It must not have pain. It must not have this problem. It must be healthy, perfect. But this form goes away of nature. It has its own reality. It goes through old age, sickness, and death. You will experience them. If you experience them with understanding, there can be a lot of joy in it, despite the sickness. Despite whatever happened. But your mind need not be afflicted by what happened. So when you understand, you perceive it with wholesomeness and understanding, there is no suffering. So this part is very useful. So we should thank Hui Rong and Mimi for arising the condition. For us to share this beautiful Dhamma. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we go on. Eh? We still got 15 minutes. Eh? We go on. Eh? So he realized this was not what he wanted. What he wanted was to understand, like, listen to this one. Eh? To understand what is this so-called human being or form and mind is all about. Understand not? The Buddha called this human being the five aggregate of form and mind. Where you have a physical form, then you have a mind with the four aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness. So combine these two, the first aspect, five aggregate of form and mind. So this is very important. So he realized this was not what he wanted. What he wanted was to understand life. To understand what is this so-called human being or form and mind is all about. Then who am I? What am I? Then who dies? What dies? If he cannot understand all this, he cannot break free from old age, sickness and death. Then to him, life got not much meaning. That's why he continued to search. Then he realized he need to have sufficient help. That's why he reverted back to some form of food. And he gave up doing the austere type of meditation. Initially he practiced deep austerity cultivation. Meaning he tried not to eat anything or drink anything for days. He just wanted to go into deep meditative state thinking that the bliss can sustain him. And that he can realize the ultimate goal of salvation via rebirth, high up in the heavens. To his teachers, Alara and Udaka, those are like their ultimate goal. Their search for eternal life, because to them they know when they die, they will take rebirth up there and they live for eternity. Because they live for very long. The highest one, 8 jhana, the rhyme of neither perception nor non-perception, you supposed to have an average lifespan of 84,000 aeons or world cycle. One world cycle already so long, 84,000. That's why you like eternity up there. But the Buddha knew, finally you still fall after that long, long period of existence. But later on, the Buddha came to know that without the enlightenment, there is no liberation from birth and death as yet. For these are just conditioned state of absorption or concentration that enable beings to be reborn in those realms. But after a long period of time, they will still fall to the lower realm. Then finally, they can still go down to hell, Apaya Bhumi. He understand all this after he became enlightened. Then he tried to help one Mahabrahma of the first Brahma realm. This Mahabrahma thought he was very great because he created things and he thought he was the creator god. That's why the Hindu believe the Mahabrahma is their god. And there is a story behind. Then the Buddha went up there and tried to advise him by telling him that, do you know that you have fallen from the very high realm to this Mahabrahma realm, which is only 3 realms above the sensual realm? So not long if you continue to be heedless like that and display all your psychic ability, you will continue to fall to the deva realms and the human realms. And if you are not careful, you will soon go down to hell. So that was how the Buddha came to know, through his past cultivation and perfection, that this is not the way to liberation of mind to enlightenment. Okay, maybe we stop here. The next part is 5.7 importance of cultivating sati. Okay, we stop at page 16. I just want to explain to you a little bit. You know why the Mahabrahma thought he is the creator god? Anybody know? This one I didn't have the condition to explain while I was giving the review at the Klang talk, because just no time, within one session you have to finish everything. You know why he think he's the Mahabrahma, he's the god? There is this 31 plane of existence. Where is the chart? Oh, my wife not around. Never mind. Ah, you got. No. There is another one. The 31 player used on the big chart. There's a big chart. Never mind. No need. Eh? You see. Ah, 31 player existence. Hey, tall chart did not. Yeah. I think there, down there. Yeah. She will bring. Yeah. This one I show it to you. This one is very useful. Okay. I need Brother Song to help me. Brother Song, you hold. You hold. Put here. 不用紧，不用看。 给我看就可以了，不是给你看。 You see, there is a square table here. No, you hold on top here. Never mind, just hold on top. Yeah. There is a square table here. Yeah? How many of you have seen this before? You never look at it. Huh? This one is the Buddha's teaching. He talked about the order of destruction of world cycle. Understand? How our world cycle get destroyed. Yeah. So you look at here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So total Mahakapa. 64 Mahakapa, one world cycle. Understand? The first cycle is, according to the Buddha, yeah? You look at here. This is where Mahabrahma is, understand? World destroyed by fire up till this level, being predominated by lust. After 7 successful destruction by fire, it is followed by 1 destruction by water. Then the Brahma, Mahabrahma, kena. Understand? Before that, the fire is below him. Understand? Then when it is destroyed by water, it reached this one. Mahabrahma also gone. Understand? So this one is water. Understand? So world destroyed by fire, reach here. Then after that, it go beyond Mahabrahma, it destroyed by water. Then the last one is by wind. See? 64. Mahakapa. Once it's destroyed by wind, WD, yeah? This last one, world destroyed by wind, up to this level, means all the Brahma realm, all the beings disappear, go somewhere else. Means the whole of the universe, 31 plane, only left with this fourth jhana and the formless rhyme survive. Understand? The rest all gone. Yeah. So, this Mahabrahma, because 7 cycle of fire, every time fire destroy, then all this being gone in there. Correct? Then he came and take birth. He fall from up, came here and take birth. Understand? Then he saw the beginning of being. How all these beings take birth. Understand? So he thought he's the creator. Understand? Yeah, he came before them. Understand? They are all not here. So he lived so long. So he thought he's the king, creator, Mahabrahma. That's why the Hindu believe he's the Mahabrahma. Understand? And those who meditate for jhana, they can go up and communicate with him. In Cantonese, Hoi Wan Hoi King Gaya. So this one is quite interesting. And how does the Buddha know all this? He must have lived and cultivated very long. He must have gone through all this cycle. Understand? That's why he cultivated 3¾ Asaṅkhaya Kappas. So this one is a very important understanding. And this one, so far nobody talked about it. But I saw it in a chart when I was in the uni, where this chart was given to me. Then I was very interested in this destruction thing, the four elements, how it destroys civilization. You know, fire is lust, isn't it? Fire hit until Mahabrahma. All the sensual rhyme all gone. Understand? Yes. No, these are sensual right. These are form right. Form right also kena. Understand? But beyond that, you need water. Understand? Then beyond this, you need wind. Understand? Then after that, all this don't get destroyed. The four elements can only reach here. Because these are the pure effort. Understand? The anak kami. Understand? That one has nothing to do with the four elements. This one is the normal weather. Understand? Physical world. Understand? But if you want to understand all this, you need to really, really cultivate. Develop the perfection. Go the long way. Alicia love. Not too long. If you have the patience, it's okay. Some thanks. Okay, return to my wife. So you got any more questions or not? 5 more minutes. Yes. The Samasambuddha way. Oh, Ajoy so quiet today. Never share anything. Pass the mic to her. She sure got something. Langley after retreat. Very different. Now very quiet, very silent. Because you are now very different. So they would like you to share.
I think an extension from Mimi's point of experience is what I've talked about in the Thursday class last week. Whereby a lot of personally, I found myself stuck there for a while because we always, I'm repeating myself actually, but I think it's important that we always take someone else's experience and thoughts as our own. And one thing that I want to stress is also when you're not very truthful to yourself in your thoughts and in your experience, you will actually get stuck there for quite a while.
Sadhu.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I think I spoke to this to some of my dear Dharma friends here.
Yeah.
I use this word and they actually laugh at me. I say when you are brutally honest to yourself, sometimes we can't even be honest to ourselves, least to say we are brutally honest to ourselves.
And very I think, true.
Yeah,
yes.
And I think if you can be a little bit more truthful to yourself, you don't have to tell anybody whether it's a lie or it's not a lie or anything like that. I think you can find out a lot of things. And you can see through a lot of things without unduality, with much more clarity. And very important is never take someone else's experience as your yardstick.
Sadhu.
I think that is very important, yeah.
Sadhu. Thank you so much. That part also not easy to understand for you. Your cultivation has to reach certain stage for you to realize that. That's why in the Thursday class when she shared, it was very good. Actually, before the Thursday class, she came to my office that afternoon, that Thursday afternoon. Then she relayed certain things, shared certain things, then asked certain questions. Then she came to that realization, which was very good. Because what she said is, after you cultivate, especially those serious cultivator, otherwise you can get stuck very long. Because do not take other people's experience as something that you think you know. Understand? That's why the Buddha say, he show you the way. He only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize it yourself. People can share with you, understand? But these are people's experience. Understand? People's realization, not yours. But you gullibly go and use your rational mind to go and contemplate, reflect and think and thought that you also have, then what happened? You become complacent. You think you already know. You think you also have that understanding. Then you get stuck. Then you never experience. You never really investigate. You never really walk that path. You never really develop the silent mind to understand things yourself. That is the danger of Dhamma. Using Dhamma to meditate. When you meditate, silent everything. I always tell you, don't try to know anything. When you don't know, That is the best time to investigate. Then when you really awaken, you will understand. But if you always hold on to the namma, then when you meditate, then something happens. You say, oh, this must be it. Brother Theo say this. That monk say this. The book say this. Oh, this is anicchang. This is dukkang. Sabbe dhamma dukkang. Then this is anatta. Non-self, empty. Oh, I know already. That is very dangerous. Understand? But when you awaken, the nature will know one. Understand? The form and mind will know one. It's just like when you have sati, when you develop the training on the mind, until one day the sati come to you, that form and mind will know what sati is on. Understand? Otherwise, it's just a knowledge. It's just a theory. Understand? You haven't really grasped it or understood it. Yeah. Awakening is also the same one. Yeah. Because the one that awaken, like the Buddha say, the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No doubt one. If you're still not sure, got to check with the book or check with somebody, then you know, chances is not the real one. But don't worry, because these are much later part of the cultivation. You will come to know, you get stuck there. That's why Krishnamurti also always say that whatever experience that people have is not important. And he always used this word, no one can be your teacher except yourself. Your life itself is your own teacher. You go through life, you live, your form and mind. From there you realize and awaken. That's why in life you awaken. The teacher can share with you a lot of things, the understanding, the experience, everything. But that is unique to him. Understand? He has realized it. He has understood it. That's why the Buddha say he also will only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. That's why there is a noble eightfold path that you have to walk and cultivate. So don't ever get trapped in Dhamma. Okay? We say sadhu to Joyce. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We all rejoice. We can have the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then you make your aspiration. Okay. Tonight like that better, isn't it? Got meditation, got Dhamma discussion. You chant. Like that better or not? Last week, no time to discuss. After question and answer, I think almost 10:30 already. So at least this week, I think, like you just say, limit to one question or one sharing. Then after that, we got more time, Like that better, You all better let me know, It is for you, Not so much how I want it to be, but whatever that suit you, better for you, easier for you to learn and understand. You can let me know. No problem. Because condition will arrive by itself. Understand? And it cannot be so coincidental. Like the three newcomer, all the three come either one. The last one got tell me she may want to come Tuesday class. I thought she was joking. Because she never came to my place before, as far as I can recall. But she said she came before. So anyway, she was here. Then Maureen and Florence also, I heard from Mimi that she got something to discuss with me, wants to see me. But I didn't expect her to attend to. Then suddenly today, they were the earliest, early bird. 7 something arrived already, 7:45. They say no traffic, Hari Raya Puasa. So they came early. Then when I look at them, I think Maureen, I can remember the face. But Florence, totally no memory. Did you come before? Oh, you came before? With Mimi?
No, I came. Mimi asked me to come here.
Oh, then you come. Maybe that time, early days. That time, I don't pay attention. I can never remember anymore. Sometimes, they tell me their name today. Tomorrow, I forgot again. Unless somebody I familiar with. Anyway, I rejoice. You all are most welcome if you have the condition to come. So, hopefully, it can help you, benefit you. Because what we do here is Dhamma sharing. Whatever that you can understand, that can benefit you, make use of it. Don't try to argue. Answer, no right, no wrong. So we are here as Dhamma friend to share Dhamma, to motivate, and to counsel and help each other. Understand? Dhamma friends are friends that walk the path of Dhamma. There is another type of Dhamma friend, the Dhamma friend that has the Dhamma. Understand? That is a very unique one. If you can find that, you should make full use. Don't regret later. Then make sure you recognize them. Otherwise, like the merchant who met the Sammasambuddha upon his enlightenment, maybe vow very hard from the distant path to meet Sammasambuddha. Meet, cannot recognize. Just miss the whole thing. So it is important that you determine, that you recognize and put forth the diligence. Then determine strongly to walk this path. Okay? Yeah. So I wish you all the best. So we will go for the sharing of merits, transfer merits. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Those who know how to chant together. Those who don't know, you just silent your mind and rejoice. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakanta Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and devas and nagas of mighty power share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sapa Sampati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Invoking the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha Fito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko. May all rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena Mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect, mindful it a lot better. Can. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice. Then pay respect, Lord Buddha, and call him Bodhisattva.